Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show. We got a special guest for you today, Josh Abbott, the lead singer of the Josh Abbott Band, massive Texas Tech fan, guns up, wreck 'em, all that good stuff. Quite a day to have Josh on. You know, you got Joey McGuire ripping it up on the recruiting trail for football, but also you've got the Texas Tech basketball team about to play Duke in the Sweet 16. Texas Tech actually favored in this game. If Texas Tech wins, that'll be a career for Mike Krzyzewski. So big, big stakes in the Sweet 16. About to talk to a guy who may be in the building when that happens. Josh Abbott, one of the stars of Texas country. If you don't know what Texas country is, get yourself to your streaming service and start listening, because these are great bands, great artists who, if you don't like the sheen of the current country coming out of Nashville, you might like Texas country a little better. It's a little twangier, but also a little more of a rock edge. If you like Southern rock, you probably like it too. Josh has some great songs, and he'll tell you he's actually one of the poppier acts in Texas country. But we'll play a little of Josh Abbott Band and Casey Musgraves' "Oh Tonight" as we go into the interview, and you'll see this guy can sing, he can write songs, and he is a massive, massive college football, college basketball fan, and that's why we love having him on the show.
Grab your hand and you say wait. I say no, girl, it's way too late.
We've been playing games for weeks. Now I'm ready to play for keeps.
No, tonight.
Joined now by Josh Abbott, avid Texas Tech fan, but you know, you've probably heard of him more because he is the lead singer of the Josh Abbott Band. But Texas Tech grad, we're talking to you, yep. Josh. We're recording this on a Tuesday. On Thursday, the Texas Tech basketball team can end Coach K's career. How how excited are you for this?
Well, it's pretty exciting. We I live in Austin, and we play actually down in South Texas on the border on that Friday. I think even though the travel is going to be just crazy tight, I'm pretty sure I'm going to the game. I got tickets already. So I'm flying out to San Francisco, go to the game on Thursday, and then I'll fly back and hopefully, you know, we get the W and I'll just have to miss the Elite Eight game, but I can live with that because I think getting to watch us play Duke is just a special moment regardless of the outcome. Obviously, I like our odds to win. Apparently, Vegas likes our odds to win. I think our team is just that salty. I don't think I'm being too
biased. Watched y'all play quite a bit. They'll lock you down. And I'm curious about this because I know, and we're going to, this is, you know, a football mostly podcast, and we're going to get into you nearly taking out Mac Brown on the field a while ago. But I'm curious about Texas Tech becoming a basketball school. Like, okay, I covered the Chris Beard team that made the Final Four. I covered them in the Final Four, and obviously the fans were going crazy. But the way Chris Beard left and the sheer anger, like, I didn't realize how passionate Texas Tech had become about basketball until Texas came to Lubbock this year.
Yeah, it's probably, you know, I wish there was an official way of, you know, keeping track of what the rowdiest crowd could be, but I've never witnessed anything like it. And I just think that it's kind of the mentality of the underdog, so to speak. Not that we were the underdog in that game by any means, but just Texas Tech in general, chip on the shoulder. you know, out there in Lubbock and, you know, and of course, big UT being in Austin and the whole thing. And, you know, it's a weird situation because, you know, a lot of people were pretty mad at Coach Beard for leaving. And, you know, I would even say to him, I think, you know, but perhaps the way that he departed could have been handled maybe a little bit better, but he handled it the way he wanted to handle it. And it is what it is, but yeah, he got a lot of people up in arms for sure. So, man, that was crazy. I actually missed that game. I just watched it on TV like you did probably. And I was hating myself literally.
Didn't you have to leave town to play a show when Tech went to Austin and like the entirety of Red Raider Nation descended on Austin?
Man, you keep up with stuff really well. Yeah. So everybody then, you know, round two comes to Austin. I've got tickets, the whole thing, and we're actually off. So I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be great. I'm not kidding you. A week or a week and a half, maybe before that gig, my agent called me and said, hey, we had somebody cancel on a gig. We need you to, you know, can you fill in? And so I said yes, and I went all the way up to Nebraska. Wasn't even close enough to like make the game and then get out. Just missed the game, had to watch on TV. So, you know, that's not fun, but regardless, it was a lot of fun to watch Texas Tech this year. Has been for several years, but even going back to when I was in college and Coach Knight was around, you know, Texas Tech basketball has that ability to be really special in Lubbock. You know, I don't know, some people call us a basketball school. You know, when Leach was around, we sure were a football school. I would like to think that we'll get back to being a football and a basketball and a baseball school. I think Texas Tech is a sleeping giant and it's about to emerge. I really do. We've got a great coaching staff all across the board in the three major sports and even the other ones. And, you know, our women's soccer is doing well. Like, I'm just very optimistic about Texas Tech dominating the Big 12 for the next decade.
So you come by your Texas Tech fandom, honestly. You're from, is it pronounced Idaloo?
It is Idaloo, just outside of Lubbock.
So suburban Lubbock. I live in suburban Gainesville, so I understand how that is.
Yeah.
You know, look, suburban college town basically means you're very close to a feed store. But so you go to Texas Tech, right? And you were in grad school when you decided to start writing songs, right?
Well, yeah, kind of. I started writing songs in undergrad.
Okay.
And then really put the band together and started getting a little bit more serious about it in grad school. And then by the end of grad school is when I was like, man, I'm having way more fun playing, you know, bars than I am studying rhetoric. So
what were you going to be? What were you getting a master's in?
So I was working on my master's in communication studies. There was an emphasis on rhetoric and political science, really. So, you know, I was a little confused during college on like what career path is this going to take me? And I pretty much landed. I was going to write my thesis on something in the oil and gas industry, and was hoping to parlay that into some sort of, you know, communications director or sales or position with an oil and gas company out in Midland, Odessa. And literally, yep. I just thought that would be my path. But, you know, thankfully it ended up going a different way.
You've told the origin story a bunch of times. You were, which bar were you at? Who were you watching when it came to you that I can do this?
Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously being in Texas, if you're not from Texas, and I don't want to bore people who are on here for your football and they're like, who is this guy talking about Texas music?
Oh, no, I want people to be introduced to Texas. Red dirt, Texas country. I don't know exactly how to describe the genre, but I would call it good country music meets Southern rock.
Yeah. That's a great explanation for it. There's not really even an official one yet, but it's just a little different than mainstream country. It's not quite as poppy. In fact, it's far from it, probably. Some argue that we're probably one of the more poppy Texas country bands, and everyone in Nashville thinks we're not even close. So it's kind of funny the difference between the two genres, but it's huge down in Texas, but it's also now, I think, because of all the different streaming services and the availability of music, it's really widespread all the way East Coast to West Coast. And it's a lot of fun to get to travel the country and play songs that, you know, not every song's about Texas. That's probably a little misleading for people listening in. It's not like that's the only thing we sing about. I just think that there's a style to what we do, and some people really gravitate towards that. But anyway, yeah, I started in college. You know, it's a big part of our culture to go to Texas country concerts. It's just different. It'd be like if you're from, you know, you said you're in Florida, it'd be like as if there was like a whole touring scene of Florida bands that played
Miami
songs
bass. We had Luther
everyone
Campbell.
Was in Florida, you know, that just loved them. Yep. And they toured all the college towns. That's kind of what happens in Texas. And so I would grow up watching Pat Green and Robert Earl Keane and some of those guys and Wade Bowen. And then I just remember I was at this bar called the Blue Light, which is where everybody would go. And I watched this band, the Randy Rogers Band, who are good friends of mine now. And I just was like, man, this is really cool. And these guys sold out this bar. There's probably 400 people here, and they're playing their own songs. I only know like three, but everybody's singing along every song. What am I missing here? You know, like maybe I should dive more into this and try to do it. And so I naively just did, you know, tried to blaze my own path and started writing music and started going down the road. And, you know, through a lot of trial and error and a little bit of luck, we've gotten all the way to here.
We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
So what's the first song you learned to play on the guitar?
You know, people ask me that all the time. I don't even remember. I can really guarantee you it was a Willie Nelson or a Pat Green song, though.
So that's Pat Green. Pat Green's kind of Willie, I would assume, is kind of the patron saint of all Texas music. But sure. Pat Green right seems like there he is. There's Willie right behind you. Pat Green seems like the guy that everybody looks up to. And so I remember, you know, I'm from Florida. I think at the time this song got popular, I had been in Texas maybe 4 days of my life. I think I'd covered the Cotton Bowl when Tennessee played Kansas State in the Cotton Bowl, and most of the time was spent in a hotel because there was an ice storm. But Wave on Wave comes out, and I was like, damn, this song is awesome. And so I go and find all this other Pat Green music, and I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. So it's one of those genres that. It's funny because we talk about food a lot on this podcast. And I remember 10, 15 years ago, I was trying to describe Nashville hot chicken to somebody. And you go to Prince's, you get hot chicken. It feels like your mouth's going to explode. But they're like, you mean chicken, buffalo wings? I'm like, no, hot chicken. And so, but now everybody knows what that is. And that's what I'm hoping Texas country is next on that list. And I know you're working to do that. Casey Musgraves,
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, when you did a duet called Oh Tonight with Casey Musgraves, she was not big at the time, right? That was very early on.
No, I mean, she was pretty relatively unknown, to be honest. I mean, hell, I'd even argue we were. You know, when we did that song, it's not like we were near as popular as we are now. We were definitely starting to take off in the Texas music scene. We had had She's Like Texas out. It was on that same album, and then we followed up She's Like Texas with Oh Tonight, and it was the last song to even make that record. I only recorded it because my fiddle player was like, hey, man, I really think this song is good enough to record. And I knew, you know, I did definitely have a vision for the song, and I knew I wanted kind of that twangy, just a little bit of twang in the voice. I wanted more Miranda Lambert than I wanted Carrie Underwood, if that makes sense. But I knew it needed to be just a little bit different than Miranda too. And obviously Miranda was a superstar. She wasn't going to probably sing a song with us. So, I loved Kacey Musgraves' voice. I was familiar with her, just from her being in Austin for a little bit. And I just called her one day and was like, "Hey, look, I just would love to put you on this song. I just know that you're the voice for this song. And can you give it a shot?" And she was like, "Yeah, absolutely." So she was super cool about it and recorded the song. And it sounded great to us. We were like, "Man, this is a cool song," but that's what every band thinks when they record a song. And the next thing I know, you know, right after She's Like Texas kind of did its thing, Oh Tonight just started organically just blowing up. Radio yeah. stations started playing it outside of Texas. I mean, I remember getting a call, "Hey, you know, this station in Phoenix is playing your song. The station in Oklahoma City is playing your song." I'm like, "What?" That's crazy. We're in a van. You know, we're not like a real band touring in a bus across the country. And it really blew up in a cool way. And, you know, I want to be really clear. We had nothing to do with Musgrave's success. She was always destined to be the star that she is. And she's done that through her own path. We were just very fortunate that our paths crossed at the same time for that song.
Well, so the first year of the college football playoff, they had the national championship game at Jerry World. And so they threw a party for the media the night before. Kacey Musgraves played the party. And this is right as pageant material is coming out. And I had listened a lot to the first album, and I think pageant material was already streaming, so I was already listening to that. And there were like, there's probably 500 people in the room, but there are only like four or five of us that stayed the whole time. And like, I'm looking at the other people. I'm like, "That's Kacey Musgraves. She's 5 feet from us and she's singing. Like, get your asses Super over cool. here."
Hey, you see it. Some people don't see it. You know, I think, you know, some people just get it and some people don't. And, but look at the cool story you have from that. You know, now you can rub it in the face of all those, sports media writers. "Hey, you remember that time you're in front of literally the Madonna of our generation and you didn't even notice?"
That's unbelievable. That's all right. I mind my own biscuits and life will be gravy. So let's talk some Texas Tech football, because you were there during an incredible era. You were, you know, Mike Leach gets there. They become probably the biggest story in college football. That offense revolutionizes offensive football. What's that like as a student?
Oh, it's just exciting. You know, I was from the area, so you know, I had kind of witnessed, not really firsthand, but secondhand, the whole Spike Dykes era, right? When I was in junior high and high school. And Texas Tech was okay. You know, I mean, we're just 6-6, 7-5 kind of every year, maybe 8-4. I'd have to go back and look at the records, but most of the time I think we're about that 7-win team. And you know, I grew up watching guys like Zach Thomas play. And then when I, you know, finally got off to college there and finally made my way to Tech, you know, they were just rolling. And it was just a lot of fun, man. I mean, watching us with this weird offense that was different than pretty much anyone else in the country. We're throwing the ball like 60 times a game. And, you know, there's some people in Texas, you know, that were like, "We need to be running the ball more. That's why," you know.
Oh, yeah.
But it was so cool to watch it, and watching our offensive linemen, you know, the way they set out so far apart from each other. You're just like, "What is this? This is some gimmicky offense." And it was a lot of fun to watch. It was fun to watch guys like Kingsbury and the whole succession of quarterbacks that followed after him. You know, these unheralded, under-recruited guys get their shot at, you know, record books. And, you know, going to Tech and it being the school it is and being in the fraternity I was in, I was fortunate to become, you know, acquaintances and friends with a lot of those guys while they were playing football, and have maintained a lot of those friendships throughout the years. And so, man, I'm just looking back on it, like, it was just so much fun to get to go to those games and watch us, you know, just win, watch us score 50, 60 points. And, you know, I was there when we beat UT in 2002, and it was unreal.
That's what I want to ask about. So you rushed. Did you throw a tortilla? Was tortilla throwing a thing yet?
Hell yeah. We got in trouble for that. But yeah, man, everybody threw tortillas. You know, we didn't throw trash, we threw tortillas. And I wish they'd let us do it again.
So what, what happens after that game? It was a 42-38 Texas Tech win. They scored in the fourth quarter win.
Yeah, if I remember right, we had the ball and it was third down, maybe like 30 seconds, 40 seconds left, and we didn't want to give UT the ball back, obviously, and we threw a lateral pass. I think Kingsbury threw it to Welker, who threw it to Mickey Peters, or it might have been he threw it to Mickey Peters, who threw it to Welker, or something like that. Again, it's been so long, my memory's a little off, but I just remember that lateral pass. And then they threw it, just kind of a trick play, and we got the first down, and we were able to, you know, run out the clock. And yeah, we rushed the field; it was incredible. And I rushed the field, and I think you alluded to this earlier in the podcast. I'm very curious how you know about that, but I'm running, and I'm just clueless, right? And I'm running and screaming with everyone, and I just run into Coach Brown and his security team, and. Thank God they didn't just like whip me right there. You know, like I didn't mean to run into them. It's just kind of how it happened in the chaos and just kind of ran into them. And for those, he definitely wasn't like, hey, great game. I mean, he definitely was like, get off me, you know, and getting out of there. But anyway, it was kind of a fun memory of doing that. And then I got to tell him that years later. And he acted like he somewhat remembered it. I'm like,
oh that's Mac. He's the old, oh yeah, Josh. I remember you coming at me. You looked a little scared because my trooper was kind of big, but
pretty much
it's Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas.
I don't know. My memory might even be exaggerating things now. I might have almost ran into him or hit his state trooper, but I just remember literally running kind of into their group and seeing him. I mean, just as close as I am to my phone right now and being like, oh, wow. I mean, he's like, you know, pretty famous coach. And for me to be like that close to him, that was pretty cool.
So having you been on the field for post game for a lot of these things, I'm convinced that in every state in America, they just line up every state trooper and they find the biggest, most jacked one and say, you will escort the football coach after the games. So,
man, it's always a circus when that happens. But I think it's what makes college sports great. And I hope that, you know, we don't get so, you know, progressive in things that we eliminate, you know, make it, you know, make super illegal or something for kids to do that. I mean, I know they're always fining schools for it and they're opposing coaches will worry about player safety and things like that. It's like, man, I mean, we've made it this far and there's never been massive students against athlete fights on the field. So let's just call it for what it is. You know, when there's a big upset at home, that team wants to celebrate. Let their fans have that moment.
Oh yeah. Well, were you there for the Crabtree catch, or were you guys on the road?
I was. I had actually already graduated. If I remember right, the Crabtree catch was in 2008. That's kind of when I formed my band, and so I was already out of college. But at the time, I was dating a girl who was still at Tech, and so I went to the game. You know, obviously a ton. That's just what you do, right? Even as alumni, everybody goes to the game. So I went to the game and. And when we won that game, everybody rushed the field. And I just remember thinking, like, I'm probably too old for this. I don't care. I'm rushing the field. And I literally just ran down there, too, with a bunch of other people. And it was just awesome.
So with Tech football, I'm curious. When Leach was there, it was kind of a rebel offense, doing something different. Mm-hmm. Now everybody copied it. But how much did that kind of tap into the ethos of the Texas Tech community? Because it feels to me like there's a pride and you're all the way out there in Lubbock and you're not in Austin. I mean, you're not in Houston.
Yeah. Like I said before, there's a chip on your shoulder about it. Kind of, you know, I mean, we were the school that was established later on down the road. We were kind of isolated out in the panhandle and there, you know, there was this reputation for such a long time that even still to this day, we have a hard time shaking it of, oh, it's so far out there and there's nothing to do out there. Well, you know, that really might have been true in the 60s, 70s, 80s, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, today, you know, you can fly directly into Lubbock from, you know, Dallas and Austin, San Antonio and Houston, all these other places. And it's pretty easy to get to, and there's a lot to do. There's so much that has developed, not only at the campus and around there, but in the entire city. It's really modernized, and there's so much to do now. And it's so nice that anybody that says that about Lubbock is probably just an assistant coach for an opposing football team trying to convince a recruit not to go there. Because, I mean, the truth is, if these recruits will come visit, they'll see, like, this place is wonderful. You know where you can't fly into, really?
Or
you can't fly into Stillwater. You can't fly into Manhattan, Kansas, right?
Nobody wants to go. They got like one flight a day in from Chicago now to Manhattan. They took great pride in it. It's interesting because when you mentioned Stillwater, and I did another interview a few years ago with a former Oklahoma State javelin thrower who wound up having a similar kind of story to yours, where he's like, I'm in school, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I kind of like playing guitar and singing. And it was Garth Brooks. So,
no way.
Yeah. Yep. He threw the javelin at Oklahoma State. And kind of a similar place as you, where he had the bachelor's degree and just wasn't real fired up about going into what he was studying.
That's amazing.
And it's just, it's when
he's
find your passion.
A little bit more success than I have, but really cool. Interesting, something that we have in common. That's really cool. I've met him a couple times.
Yeah, if you meet him again, ask him about that. Get some Bill Self stories.
He'll light up about that. He probably gets asked the same questions all the time. If I walk up to him, I'm like, man, I heard you threw the javelin in college. He'll probably tell me more stories.
Talking crap about Texas Tech and Oklahoma State, I guarantee. So here's how I knew. This is when because. I get pitched the musician interviews, stuff like that. I want to make sure it's one, somebody I like to listen to, and two, that they are a fan, a real fan of what we're talking about. Not the kind of person that becomes I'm not going to name names, Kenny Chesney, who becomes the biggest fan of the school that they're 5 miles away from. Listen, Kenny Chesney's from Corrington, Tennessee. He should rock a power T. It should be Tennessee all the time. Be like Brad Paisley gets angry if you suggest you like anything other than West Virginia. Like that's what I want. So we're interviewing Garth, and I mentioned something offhand about Oklahoma State, and this was 2 or 3 years ago, and it was when Taylor Cornelius was their quarterback, and he calls Taylor Cornelius corn dog, and I'm like, okay, I know you're one of us now. We can talk. Yeah. We can talk here.
Yeah.
So
I'm with you, man. I love that too. Guys that just kind of rock whatever school. I mean, it's kind of like, I get what you're doing, but there's no authenticity there. I'm a Tech guy, and the only other college I think that I've ever worn in my adult life was, I think I rocked an SMU hat, at a game that I went to,
was that for a girl?
No. to support Coach Dykes and a brand that I was kind of a part of for a little bit that I'm actually wearing now, the Tech version called Sideline Swagger. They've changed the name, Sideline Provisions now, but awesome gear. And if you need a Tech hat or anything, I'll get you hooked
up. There you go.
With one.
We'll be right back after these words.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Building a portfolio with Fidelity Basket Portfolios is kind of like making a sandwich. It's as simple as picking your stocks and ETFs, sort of like your meats and other topics. and managing it as one big juicy investment. Mmm, now that's pretty good. Learn more at fidelity.com/baskets. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
It's just, it's funny how that works because, you know, sometimes some people say, oh, I'm a big, no, like I saw you tweeting about NIL and like you tweeted at me years ago about, I wrote something about, you know, athletes should be able to get a little bigger slice of the pie. And you're like, you're right about that. And I'm like, wow, you actually care about this stuff. So,
oh, I really do. I read, you know, sports articles all the time, listen to podcasts all the time, really dive into it. I won't lie. My involvement over the last few years probably has decreased a little because I have
kind of busy
almost 5-year-old daughter and I have an almost 2-year-old son. Yep. And they literally take all the time I used to have to watch, you know, things and listen and soak up sports knowledge. I feel a little behind at times, but, you know, this year, definitely with Texas Tech basketball just being so great. And, you know, I'm in a bunch of group texts with, fraternity brothers and friends from college. And we're always talking Tech football or basketball. And right now is a really good time for the university. Coach McGuire at Tech, for the football side, I've never seen the passion and energy, for the head coach position. I haven't seen it. I don't even want to be like since so-and-so. I mean, he has a fire in him that is very rare and unique. And he's just an amazing recruiter. And I think that's pretty obvious. If you go look at the class he put together for this past signing day, and then look at the class he's already started to form for next year, it's incredible. I mean, probably will be the highest on paper class that we've had easily since the Tuberville class of, 2012 or 13.
I remember which one you're talking about. That and McGuire just seemed, you know, when you get the ex Texas high school coach who just has dreamed of being a head coach in the state of Texas at a major university for a long time. Like you can hear it in his voice, and you can see it when he's out on the road tweeting at you saying he's listening to you guys on the road.
I bet he's
got a good playlist for his recruiting trips.
He's a Texas country guy, and it's not just because he's at Tech. I think him coming to Tech just made him even more excited that he gets to, you know, he'll have the opportunity for, you know, guys like me and Pat Green and Wade Bowen and William Clark Green and Flatland Calvary, and the list goes on and on. All of this, being around. But man, it's contagious. His passion, enthusiasm. Everybody that's met him is like, he's the real deal. I am super excited to watch our football team under him. Obviously with Kitley coming back to run the offense, that's pretty exciting.
That's what I wanted to ask about. He was at Texas same time as you, right?
Well, you know, I'm trying to remember that part, but I know he was a GA at Tech, while Kingsbury was the head coach who, you know, Cliff and I, obviously have been friends for a really long time. And so, getting to watch these guys, a lot of these guys work their way up from the lowest starting point to being coordinators, to being head coaches now. You know, guys like Eric Morris, who you just left Incarnate Word to be the offensive coordinator at Washington State. He'll be a head coach at some point. And it's just so much fun to watch these guys that I literally have known for a really long time get to, you know, be great and be successful at what they love.
Well, Ken Kittley did it at Houston Baptist. He went and did it at Western Kentucky. So it's not like you don't know. They're going to move the ball.
Kitley's path reminds me a lot more of Leach than it does anything else, right? Kitley, I don't think he was a college football player.
He played. And his dad's a track coach.
His dad was a track coach. And so he's kind of an outsider that learned the game. And then all of a sudden he put up record numbers at schools like Houston Baptist and Western Kentucky. It just reminds me a lot of the Leach path. And so it's not going to shock me at all to see him be a head coach in the next 5 years somewhere.
So when y'all are good, it is a game. There is just unbelievable. I've been to a couple.
Yeah, agreed. But as long as we don't play the 11 a.m. game. So if any of the Big 12 officials are listening right now, quit scheduling us the 11 a.m. game. It's bullshit. We don't want to play at 11 a.m. every home game on Saturday. Give us a night game. We're worth it. That's an electric stadium.
Listen.
There you go.
All we have to do is show them the end of the Crabtree catch game. Look what happens when the sun goes down in that place.
Sure.
You didn't win the one where Baker came in for Oklahoma and dueled against Mahomes, but like that melted everyone's faces.
I was at that game. Incredible game. I just remember watching it like, I feel like I feel like my buddy and I are playing a video game right now. Like these stats are unreal. How do they each have like 800 yards? It's crazy.
So what is it like with having your school, like the biggest ambassador for your school is the best quarterback in football, right? Well, I know Tom Brady's coming back again. So, but Patrick Mahomes might be the best quarterback in the NFL for the next 15 years. And he's a Tech guy.
Yeah. And what's great about Mahomes is I remember when we recruited him, again, Kingsbury and I, you know, friends, and I was like, this is the kid, you know, this is the kid, hon. He goes, he'll be in the NFL. And I remember thinking like, man, it's a pretty bold statement, right? Because I see this kid with kind of a weird throwing motion who's a three-star recruit. And I thought, man, that's pretty bold. But once you met Pat, once you saw him on the field, you just knew like, oh, yeah, there's something special here. He's got a vision. I think that comes from him being a multi-sport athlete. I think can't be talked about enough because I think his vision from the basketball court really translates to the football field or vice versa. And then, of course, his pitching motion.
Well, and you
growing up with a professional athlete of a father, you know, I think
you watch some of those throws. The arm angles. I talked about this with somebody who trains quarterbacks, and they were talking about how, you know, Patrick Mahomes, who grew up, he pitched in baseball, but he also played in the infield. You know, the arm slots he can get his arm into. Well, he's thrown to first base. He's turned double plays. Like he understands how to move his arm around in a different way, and he doesn't have to think about that because he practices it so much. It's instinctual.
It's so natural for him watching out, you know, out there. I mean, it's just so much fun to watch. And, you know, again, because of my connections there, I got to become friends with Pat. And he comes out to my concerts all through college and kind of led to us, you know, being kind of a, you know, friends. I'm older than him, so it's not like we're like best friends. But like we're friends enough that we still to this day text about a lot of things. And he'll hook me up with tickets to go to the games. And that's not me bragging or anything. It's just very fortunate and lucky that, you know, that my path crossed with his. And it's been a lot of fun watching him obviously take off in the NFL and really lead the way. And, man, they've just been a couple plays away from, you know, having more than one Super Bowl ring. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that offense does, especially now that they signed Juju to come in and pair up with Tyreek.
It's not even fair.
And everything they have. I mean, they're going to score 50 points a game.
Yeah, it's not even fair that they somehow still managed to collect more offensive weapons around him. But now is it selling out though if he gets you into a an insurance commercial? If he gets you doing the soundtrack for an insurance commercial.
If he gets me in one?
Yeah.
Hell, is it selling out on your part? I mean, if selling out means I pay off my mortgage and we're good.
So you were mentioning a bunch of artists earlier. How many panhandlers did you mention in that? Because you guys formed a super group, which I want to be good enough at something so that if I hook up with somebody else, it gets called a super group. I'm down for that. But y'all are playing. You got your songs on Yellowstone, which we talk about Yellowstone a lot on this show, by the way. So. I mean, that is...
Yeah, that was really cool. So I formed you say super group. I'm really cautious about using that term.
It's like Asia, the Traveling Wilburys.
It's bold. You know. It's bold, but I guess contextually, it's a Texas country super group, and it's me, William Clark Green, Cleto Cordero, who's the lead singer of the Flatland Calvary. Those were the ones I mentioned before, and then John Bauman, who is a songwriter, who was born in Amarillo. Spent a lot of time in Lubbock, I think dating a girl through college, even though he went to TCU. And, you know, he lives in Austin now, and he and I are really good friends. And, the four of us put together this group, kind of had this vision of doing something that resembled a modern-day version of the Flatlanders. And so we convinced Bruce Robeson. Great songwriters, had some hits out there for various artists in the 90s, early 2000s, and convinced him to produce this, and we recorded all on tape. It's meant to sound like it was recorded in 19 79 or 1982 or whatever. That's the vibe. And that's the vibe we go for on all of it. You know, when we're shooting video and we're taking pictures and everything, we want it to look and feel very old school. And it's kind of a tip of the cap to that era of Texas country music specifically and story songs.
It's good. I always talk, we did a random ranking where I asked the listeners, what do you want me to rank? So I had to do songs about bodies of water. And I had, you know, The River by Springsteen up very high, just because a song that tells a great story is perfect. I love a great story and song. And in Texas, you've got incredible storytellers. You got Willie Nelson, you got George Strait, you know.
Oh, more than that. I mean, storytellers, James McMurtry, Robert Earl Keen is kind of the GOAT. He's literally on his last tour. Anybody out there that, you know, somewhat familiar with it, or even if
that's
you're
a,
not.
That's an Aggie
love,
right there. We had an Aggie
song
on a few weeks ago,
okay,
so we talked
okay
about that. Yep.
I have a healthy respect for A&M. Now, that'll really piss off my fraternity brothers that hopefully will watch this. But, I really have a lot of respect for Texas A&M and the traditions they have. And, you know, I mean, they're basically the, you know, I almost feel like Texas Tech and A&M are so much alike in ways that
there's some kindred spirit there.
Rivalry. It fueled that rivalry for a long time, and now we never play them. So, you know, it's really not a rivalry, obviously, anymore. But yeah, Robert Earl Keen's the man. He's on his last year of touring, and he's touring nationally. And I would encourage anyone to go out and watch him, because you won't get to after this year. I don't think it's one of those. In fact, well, I don't want to say too much, but it's not one of those, well, this is my last tour, and then
right,
he comes back 3 years later. Until
the company comes back and says,
I'm pretty certain this will be his last tour. When Robert Earl Keen says that, I take him at his word for that. So I would encourage everybody out there to go check out one of his last shows, even if it means that you fly somewhere or have to get a hotel and the whole thing. Like, it'll be worth it. But
you'll have a story to tell.
You talk about storytellers and all that. You know, there sure is a lot of them. I'll tell you another great story. I'll segue us a little bit. Coach Adams.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Mark Adams at Texas Tech basketball. I mean, what a great story that is.
He didn't get on the plane.
He didn't get on the plane. He stayed in the plains. You know, there's kind of a play on words there. Maybe I'll write a song about one day. And
I like it.
And I'm really proud of this basketball team. They're a lot of fun. I don't know how much you cover basketball on your podcast, but man, they're just so diverse and athletic. And I just love, you know, one game, you know, Arms might score 20 points, and the next game he might score 5. You know.
Yeah.
One game we may score 97, and the next game we score 60. It seems like we can win in a variety of ways. I've got some fraternity brothers from college. We all stay in touch, and a couple of them they always are like, we're just a team of dogs, you know, a team of dogs. And I love that, because I think it's true. I think these guys are hungry. There's a chip on their shoulder. They're out there every night playing to the wire. And I think we're going to beat Duke. I think we're going to end Coach Krzyzewski's career. And I mean that respectfully. Obviously, yeah. I'm a big basketball fan, kind of a closet Duke fan. Hope nobody gets mad at me for that. Please make no mistake. I will absolutely be rooting for Texas Tech over Duke. I went and watched the game we played against Duke at Madison Square Garden a few years ago, when they had Zion and RJ Barrett and all those guys. And man, what a game and atmosphere that was. But I really think we'll have their number. I like our matchups. I like our team. And I like Coach Adams' ability to change things up. You know, one of my friends really pointed out the other day in that game against
Notre Dame.
Against Notre Dame. Thank you. Sorry. In the last couple minutes there, when we really needed to lock down defense, Coach Adams took out our best two scorers. Literally took out our best two offensive players in that game and just focused on shutting down the other team. And we did, you know, and he'd switched up going from zone to man in the, you know, coming out of timeouts. And he just does those little things that really, I think, put a lot of faith in his team. And that, I think, that motivates them on the court to play at an even higher level. So go Tech. Let's get the win against Duke. Let's go beat the Zags, leave them on the West Coast. Let's go to the Final Four again, baby.
Love it. Love it. Mark Adams, 65 years old, getting his first big shot and he might be the one who takes out Coach K. I can't wait to watch. I can't believe you might be there. That's going to be so much fun. But Josh, thank you so much. I know y'all have been in the studio. I cannot wait to hear what you come out with next. And everybody, get thee to your streaming services. Get the go buy an album. There's vinyl. You got vinyl.
Yeah. There you go.
That's big again. So go buy a physical album.
I just tell people, stream our music. You're going to anyway. Just buy a t-shirt.
There you go. That's the best way to do it. And you never know. He may be throwing a tortilla at you at a sporting event. So just watch. Heads up.
Yeah, I'm about to do that at a concert sometime. But hey, thanks, man. That's really cool. I'm a big sports fan, obviously. Read your articles, listen to your podcast, listen to you on other podcasts. Thought it was super cool that you reached out. And this has been great. It's always fun for me to hear how people discover Texas country. So for you to be, you know, a guy living in Florida who randomly listens to Texas country music, and your text message was like, man, I fell in love with Texas country music, and I'd only been to Texas like 3 times, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I thought that was super cool.
And now I've been there quite a bit for work, and I will pump one more song before we go. So
okay.
Josh has a song with Pat Green called My Texas. If you want to Texas correctly, that is your Texas bucket list. Just listen to the things in that song. Like, I've not had I've had a lot of shiners in Texas, but I haven't had one in Luckenbach yet. So I got to do that.
Yeah, the little public office there.
But yeah, it's a great list. If you can do all of that, you have Texas correctly. And trust me, you ain't doing it all in one trip. That's a big state. Yeah. It's a republic. Yeah. So
I feel like I could write that song 3, 4, 5 times. There's so many things to do because it's such a big state with a lot of different areas of the, you know, look very different, have different cultures and different things that they do.
I'm waiting for the Schlitterbahn verse.
That's be hard to rhyme, but we'll work on it.
Josh Abbott, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, Andy. I appreciate it.